Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering and producing the show. Tom is my Friday engineer producer. It's always good to see Tom's face because it means it's Friday and the weekend is here. And we're ready to do it on this Friday, September the 15th, 2017. Hope you had a great week. And by the way, we do re-air our Friday edition on KVOI Saturday morning at 7. So if you're up and about, we have the program up for you again. We are on AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. That's my website, and then KVOI, the station's fine website. Friday, I like to do a shout-out to our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com. We're welcoming a new group, Tucson Media Group, which includes the Tucson Weekly, Inside Tucson Business, The Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, Desert News. Thank you to them for prominently displaying on their websites the Buckmaster Show link, other media partners, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and the Three Sonorans. These are folks who believe in the work we're doing, and they make it very easy for their readers to just click and then go, takes us right to the Buckmaster Show. Jan Lesher is with us. It's good to see Jan. I've known Jan 30 years, when I arrived in town in January 1988. Seems like ancient history. But Jan is now Deputy Pima County Administrator. She has been in that role for pretty much 7 years, right, Jan?
Just something almost, like that. Yep.
Jan Lesher returned to her hometown in 2010 after serving former Arizona Governor and Department of Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano, who now heads up the Chancellor of the California State Education System, the university system. Jan had a really important role at Homeland Security, some 230,000 employees.
230,000.
Probably
employees,
grown right. A lot.
About a $52 billion budget.
$52 billion budget. And I remember when you were with Janet Napolitano, and when the secretary came to the TV station, it seems like we had a security sweep going on at the station for about 3 days, dogs and everything.
You're always very safe if she was
very interesting. Also with us today, we have Sarah Garrett-Gasson. Always good to see Sarah. Sarah, how are you?
I am doing well. Thank you.
Congratulations to you and your staff. Kind of reconstituted, beefed up staff on the editorial page,
yes,
which you are overseeing now as editor, and you are a columnist as well. But I think it's looking good.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
More of a local presence. Certainly Sunday, you're all over the place. All over the place, not just on.
Maybe that's a good
thing. Maybe that's a good thing for opinions when you're talking to an editorial page editor. But anyway, it's good to see Sarah. So, Jan, I received my tax statement as a District 1 homeowner for 30 years. And I was very pleasantly surprised because I try to budget a little money each month to go anticipating where it's going to be going, right, for the property taxes. And I didn't see much difference.
You're not going to see much difference. Nope, not at all. And I think modest change that people might see is really directed towards roads. You know, we're looking at changes coming in for the new transportation plan, and I know that many have been talking about that. But any kind of increase you're seeing at all is dedicated to a $100 million program just about over the next 5 years to improve local roads. I think anybody driving around the community and the calls we're getting, any dollar at all that goes to roads is a good thing. But those bills have started going out. If you haven't gotten your tax bill yet, they mail during the month of September and will continue to mail through about the 22nd of this month. So keep an eye out for it, but you shouldn't be too surprised with any big changes.
And you bring up roads, and there are these continuing claims among some folks that the state-shared money for roads is used by Pima County for other purposes other than roads.
Well, I think Pima County does what every other county and every other community does, which is use the funds to construct roads. And sometimes it takes more than just asphalt and stone to do that. It takes some people to actually help lay the roads. And so you do see the service provision, the provision of the service, the provision of the construction and maintenance as part of those dollars. But it's certainly not as if we're taking those funds and sweeping them into general fund and doing other kinds of activities with them. It's all related to the work on the pavement preservation.
It's related to transportation.
Absolutely.
Sarah.
I was with a group of folks earlier this week talking about behavioral health issues.
Okay.
And they were service providers, and they were saying that from their point of view, behavioral health is the biggest issue facing the county right now. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that and the county's role.
Sarah, it is very significant in that if you look at a driver of costs across the board, and we see it primarily, if not the largest, one of the largest providers of behavioral health services is the Pima County Jail. And we are doing a lot to work with recidivism and to impact that. So, yes, I think it's a growing concern. I know there was a meeting today, another community meeting earlier today, on the opioid epidemic in our community. We're seeing that. Proximity to the border doesn't help us at all. But Pima County is really unique in Arizona in that we began to recognize a role for the county about a little over a decade ago and went to voters in 2004 and 2006. And with their overwhelming approval, built the Behavioral Health Pavilion, the Crisis Response Center, expanded the emergency department at what was the old Keno Hospital, now Banner South, to be a place for this community to deal with those in behavioral health crisis. When you look and you think about those of us who have been in the community a while, issues that have had a significant impact in our community have as a common thread a behavioral health nexus. You know, I think of we were here through the Good Samaritan cab driver shooting that occurred. There's been incidents at Campbell and Grant. We had the nursing school a few years back. And, of course, January 8th, all of them, the sad piece of this is related to someone in a behavioral health crisis. The drug problems that occur in our community can be co-occurring. Sometimes people are using illegal narcotics simply to medicate for a behavioral health diagnosis. Sometimes they're not, but they exacerbate it. Sometimes they're unique. But it is a huge issue. And when you look at the cost to Pima County, and not just to our government, Pima County government does pay to the state for our provision of care. We do pay regularly for the provision of services in the jail, but it's that unintended consequence to the community of what happens when we don't have all of our citizenry able to be actively participating in the community. It's not good for them. It's not good for any of us.
Has Keno picked up the slack and is now doing a good job in that area?
Bill, I got to tell you,
was reflecting as you were talking about some of those prominent incidents that those of us who've been around a while, certainly, you know, when you were bringing up the nursing shooting and some of these other things. And I was just reflecting about back on the whole changeover about and how Keno and that whole evolution of Keno.
Well, I think we've been in the business of running a hospital as the Pima County since 1864, and with greater and lesser degrees of success. And in 2004, by the end of 2004, we had, I believe, four people in a hospital bed. The people who were in the facility were using psychiatric facilities, but it was not a hospital of choice by any stretch of the imagination. And part of that is right after the voters approved the construction of that hospital, the state passed access. And it was the first time that you didn't have a traditional county hospital, but you had the ability of people to go anywhere in the community that they might choose to get service. The reputation of Keno at that time was not one that allowed us to really bring in, to provide service throughout the community. So we began to work with, it's now been a series of initials from University Physicians, Inc. to the University Medical Center. The current permutation in our current partnership is with Banner, mm-hmm. Banner Health. And they're just knocking the numbers off the door. I mean, it's fantastic what's happening out there.
So Banner's been a really good partner.
Very good partner. We have, I think, every now and then we'll drop to maybe 100, 105 people in hospital beds in a day. And that's unusual mm-hmm. for it to go that low. And when you think about where we were with just four people, it's been a great partnership for us. We've also used bond dollars to expand family medicine, GI lab. We do a lot of work with diabetes. And diabetes prevention and wellness and training that is a complement on that campus with a, you know, a strong linkage there with Banner as the hospital, the Behavioral Health Pavilion, as well as our own Abrams Health Facility. And so there's just a lot going on in that area that's really helping provide healthcare services.
Do you want to do a quick follow? Okay, we're going to take our break here. Then we're going to change gears. I want to talk about economic development, and we're going to take our first break of the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We will be right back with Jan Lesher and Sarah Garrett Gasson of The Star. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Jeff Rogers and John Munger, plus our monthly scam alert from the Better Business Bureau. Buckmaster airs noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI Tucson's Voice. We've got our worldwide live listening podcast and show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show as we push toward, well, it's almost exactly 12:19, but if you're listening to the re-airing on Saturday morning, it's a bit after 7, probably about 20 minutes after 7. Hope you had a nice Friday night. Anyway, let's go to our Buckmaster Show live line. Greg has called us, and he would like to speak with Jan Lesher, Deputy Pima County Administrator, Sarah Garrett-Gasson, also here from the Star. Go ahead, Greg.
Thank you, Bill. I would like to, I know you wanted to shift gears, but thank you for letting me address some of the points that were raised earlier. I'm glad to hear about the improvements, because my experience when Keno, back in the 90s, they kept a fellow on there named Charlie Blank, and Dr. Blank was a self-admitted drug addict, and only because of his friendship with Richard Carmona was he allowed to stay on the job. And sadly, my dad lost his life because Charlie Blank was my dad's attending physician.
Greg, please don't bring up unsubstantiated things here on the radio.
It's Bill. But, it's a front page story in the Star.
Okay. So what is your question, though, Greg?
Let's talk about what was addressed insofar as these folks that were mentioned. That all of these shootings that we've seen across the country, the individual in Colorado, Lochner, here in Tucson, they were being treated by psychiatrists, and they were being medicated by psychiatrists. So my point is that at some point, when do we, those who are not in the field of psychiatry, realize that it's basically voodoo? They're practicing something which are making these individuals worse and a danger to society.
Okay. I have to interrupt and just correct that Jared Lochner was not being treated with medication at the point where he killed the six people at the Safeway and injured the rest. He was not.
Okay. Do you want to say anything, Jan, about that?
No. Sarah's correct, but I think obviously just lots of opportunities to have more discussion about the pros and cons of all of the opportunities involved in behavioral health in this community. A lot of experts there to do it.
All right, let's talk about economic development, Jan Lesher. We had I keep hearing these rumors, and some of these rumors are from people who are pretty good sources, saying that we're on the verge of an announcement of 5,000 high-paying jobs from a financial services company. They're actually looking, maybe you've already decided on, I think it's about 25 acres here in town. Can you say anything about that?
No. I can't, Bill, and I know we're hearing a lot of rumors. I do think, though, that what we can talk about is how exciting a time it is, and that it hasn't been that long ago when we wouldn't even hear that Tucson or Pima County or the local communities are even in the running for a job that might be bringing those kinds of numbers of employees to this community. And in the last several months, between Caterpillar and Vector and Paragon, and it's been a fairly steady tick-tock of companies coming into this community. For those of us who live or work in the downtown area, it's extraordinary, the expansion and the changes that are happening. So it feels like there's a lot happening, and I think that I think we're poised for some new announcements in the near future.
And were you happy to see at least that we're trying to get in the game as far as the big jackpot going with the 50,000 jobs from Amazon for what is being referred to as HQ for Headquarters 2, and who knows where it's going to go, but Tucson would like to be considered.
Tucson would very much like to be considered, and other communities in southern Arizona, and I think that's what's important for us to focus on now. There's clearly been a little distraction with some of the other activities related to maybe wooing Amazon, but what's important to focus on is that we are on the list. We are a community being considered. for a very exciting business opportunity and possible expansion in this community. And there's a lot going on in terms of our educational opportunities, workforce. There's land available. We hope that there's a climate that is welcoming, and let's keep focusing on that and continue to try to encourage Amazon to review and look at this community, regardless of with a sideshow potentially.
What kind of flora and fauna we are
there?
Shipping
you, there you go. Yeah. That's it.
Let's hope all the permits are in order and it is make a safe trip up there and finds a place in, what is the proper word?
A terrarium, I believe. I think there are ways in which cactus can survive outside of this community.
And just one more follow-up on economic development. One thing you can confirm, I'm sure, is that Raytheon's expanding. We all know that.
Yes.
They're expanding with 2,000 really high-paying, mainly engineer jobs, and they need actually additional space. So it's a good sign for Raytheon.
It's a very good sign. Yeah. It's a very good sign. And in one of my past lives as director of the Department of Commerce in Arizona, and I said that I wish I could assign a staff person to simply call Raytheon every day and say, thank you, God bless you. Please stay in our community, because that's how critical they are. So whenever they can expand, and it's good for all of us.
And I forgot about that part of your resume.
I'm old, Bill.
That you were actually, were you like head of the Arizona Department of Commerce?
Yeah, I was the director.
Oh, okay. All right. Sarah.
The flip side of all the good news about jobs and Raytheon expanding and fingers crossed for Amazon.
Some new business.
Yes.
Or this other 5,000
sure,
jobs.
Yeah. But I'm writing about the Medicaid, the access proposal that the state is asking for to put on a 5-year limit on access benefits, which is health care for people who are at very close to the poverty line, and also a work requirement. Can you talk about that from the dynamics of the economic levels in our county? We have 300,000 people in Pima County who qualify for access, which means that their incomes are pretty darn low.
They're very low. And Sarah, thanks for bringing that up. I think if you look at what we call it the access expansion, that Medicaid expansion that's been authorized by the state, we've got over 100,000 people in Pima County who are currently on that plan. When I mentioned earlier one of the wonderful impacts and turning a corner with Banner South, it was only a few years ago that we had an uncompensated care rate or self-pay of between 12% and 15%. That's now down to 2% and 3%. And that's absolutely made possible because of those state dollars, the federal pass-throughs and the state dollars made possible for us. If we lose that, that's devastating. That is a loss of health care to this community. The other side you're addressing is the low wages in the community and the number of people in poverty in our community. And that's where I think what we're looking at is, and to me it's part and parcel of whether the community is attractive to new businesses to come in. We work with our community foundations, the United Ways, the how are we making sure that we are addressing critical issues to increase what I think is the key goal of economic development, which is to increase per capita income. Each person's got to make more. We've got people, one of the classic myths in our community is that these are people who aren't working and who haven't gotten a job, and that's simply not accurate. These are people who are working full-time jobs who are still running families of four with two children below the federal poverty line. And so for those individuals, they're minimum wage jobs. They're not getting access to health care, and they're just barely surviving. And that's what I think our goal is as a community, and that's why I'm excited about the expansion to these new large corporations, in that health care is just part of how they do business. It is a critical component to how they do business, and that helps increase that per capita income for those individuals. We've got to get out of the we've got to diversify the economy in this community and get out of that service industry, as critical as it might be, but the competition I think will ultimately help provide those that level of care.
Wanted to get an update on the phase one of the new Pima Animal Care Center facility. How's that coming along?
It's going great, and thank you. I'm excited to talk about it because I keep hearing that we're either behind schedule or over budget, neither of which are true. We are on budget and we're on schedule. the difficulty I think is that for most organizations, if you're going to build a building, you announce construction when you're breaking ground. And if you think about the history with this facility, we began a community dialogue about a year before we actually even went to the voters. And then we went to the voters, and of course it wouldn't have been appropriate for us to begin the planning until the voters approved it. So then you start the process of bidding out and hiring a contractor and the architect. So that takes some time. And then add to that the fact that we don't have a virgin piece of dirt on which we are building a new facility. We have some 20,000 animals annually, and the staff and the community that goes with that at the location while we are simultaneously going through construction. So when we talk about phase one, there is a whole new part of the building being built. And then we take everyone in the older part of the building, move them into the new building, and go back and do all the necessary renovations and remodeling to the old part of the building. So if you've been out there now, it's quite a sight.
It's a fluid situation.
Very fluid.
You've got animals that are waiting to be adopted, and we hope they will be this weekend, because this is National Adoption Weekend.
That's right. Come on out.
And there are all sorts of specials out at Pima Animal Care. But I think it's coming along. I've seen the plans. I know that the group, the architectural group that did this, this is one of their specialties.
Line and Space, and they were working with consultants out of literally the people who wrote the book on veterinary care in these kinds of facilities out of the University of Irvine and another consulting company out of Colorado. So we had the best minds figuring out how we deal with animals. And then with our local contractor, Scent Construction, building it, it's we are blessed by having really quality folk who also live and work in this community and know the importance. So we're very excited. We're going to be finishing up the end of December, and it's about the same time Humane Society is also opening a new facility.
Yeah.
And it's great for all the animals in the community when everybody's doing well.
Yeah, I mean, two very big presences in the animal advocate world with new buildings. You can't beat that.
And they're great partners.
Those of us who love animals, and Sarah, I know you're involved as well in that category.
Absolutely. And I just want to say, please spay and neuter your pets.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sarah. That's how we're going to fix any problems we've got.
There are some big adoption events going on this weekend, so check it out if you're thinking of some new pals. My pals have been with me from Pima Animal Care, the brother and sister team of Prissy and Pierre.
They sound like they're a circus act.
I know, my goodness, came to us kind of, they had come from a sort of semi-feral mom, so they've had a little trouble adapting, but the good news is they have adapted, and they are now very much the Buckmaster cats, and they would love to have some of their friends who they left behind get home.
Well, and I'll note, I'm a blended family. I have one from the Humane Society and one from Animal
Care.
There
you go.
And they get along just fine.
Politically correct there, Jan Lesher. Jan, a pleasure to see you. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
All right. Sarah, stick around.
Will do.
Jim Nintzel's on the line from The Weekly. We'll do our Friday roundtable after we take our mid-show break.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Friday afternoon, 12:36. Jim Nitzel is with us. Jim joins us now. Jim is one of our regular contributors to the program on our Friday roundtable. Jim is the editor of the Tucson Weekly, part of the Tucson Local Media Group, which I announced at the beginning of the show, Jim. We have now kind of a partnership with the Buckmaster Show, and I'm very happy about that. And I do want to say, Sarah Garrett Gasson here as well, for folks just tuning in. Sarah was with me during the interview with Jan Lesher, the Deputy Pima County Administrator. And for folks who don't know Sarah, she is the editorial page editor at the Arizona Daily Star. Jim, I do want to say publicly, I think the weekly's looking good. I think you're doing a good job there as you've taken over, and congratulations.
Well, I have to thank my staff for that. They're doing a great job. I'm super excited to be working with the folks I'm working here, and we're off and running. But thank you very much for the kind words.
I'm glad you attacked is maybe isn't the right word, but I'm glad that you were shining some more light on this situation with the Dreamers in the current issue of the Weekly. There are a lot of people, and I know a friend of mine teaches at Pima Community College, and he's very, very concerned about his students because those students, Jim and Sarah, have voiced their concerns. They're really worried, these kids, that they're going to be part of some kind of a roundup here, an imminent roundup, Jim Nitzel.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those things where it seems like they've leapt before they've looked. I mean, certainly if you were going to eliminate the DACA program, it certainly made sense to make sure you had legislation in place to take care of these people, because you have 800,000 young people who came to the United States, as we all know, without making a decision in the matter. Their parents brought them here. They have grown up here. They do not have connections, for the most part, with their home countries or where they came from. And, you know, they're as American as you and me, with the exception of where they were born. And you know, they have jobs, they have employers, they have, they're going to school, they're serving in the military, they're doing the things everyone else does. And it just seems insane that it's been such a struggle to get them legal status on the national level. But that's where we stand now. The President Obama tried to make some way of giving them some legal protection, and that's going away in 6 months. You do have John McCain and Jeff Flake and Martha McSally, all Republicans, saying there's got to be a way to provide these guys with some legal protection. Supposedly, there's a deal that was made between Trump and our Democratic leaders in Congress. So, you know, we're going to have to see how this plays out. But if I were a dreamer, I'd be very worried, given the history of Congress in getting things done in recent years.
And Sarah, I think it's important to point out not all of these kids came to this country with parents who entered the country illegally. Many of them came on a visa, and for one reason or another, the parents let the visas expire. So the kids didn't necessarily come into this country on an illegal footing.
Right, absolutely. And I think that's an important distinction to talk about, because the image of, you know, illegals crossing the desert and all of that, and that illegals crossing the desert was in quotes because I don't refer to people as illegals, but the idea that these young people are exactly the kind of people you want in your neighborhood as a neighbor. You're going to school, you're in the military, you're working, you're living a good life, you've had a criminal background check. All these things make it just so just odd, and really, I think, shines a light on the ridiculousness of our screwy immigration policy and how these sort of easy targets can come into view. Although I think there's been quite an uproar, and I think that Trump is feeling some pressure to make a change, depending on who he's having dinner with that night.
Jim, I want to talk about the upcoming city election. There hasn't been a lot of publicity about what I think is going to be one of the big issues is going to be the initiative concerning the early childhood education. Sort of under the radar screen right now, isn't it?
Been a little bit quiet since they made the ballot. I think the proponents of this are getting ready to gear up for their big campaign push. This is an interesting one in that it's going to create a half-cent sales tax to help fund early childhood education, with the idea being that you'd get scholarships available for parents who have kids who are 3 and 4 years old, not quite ready for kindergarten, but ready to start learning. I can certainly say from my experience of having a kid now and seeing how attending her school has really created such an incredibly bright young woman. I'm boasting a little bit, but
a little bit.
I think it has an amazing impact on children to have an opportunity to go to a high quality early childhood education center as opposed to daycare centers. But I also think there's an economic element in this, in that the state has really cut back on what it provides for childcare. And if you have working moms and they're single moms and you want them to work and get themselves off of welfare programs and build a better life for themselves, you have to give them reliable child care. So I think there's both a benefit for the children and a benefit for the community at large in terms of helping folks who need to be able to work and have reliable child care. But it has run into a lot of opposition from members of the Tucson City Council. It has run into oppositions from the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, the Chamber of Commerce, the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. There's a lot of folks who are unhappy with this whole idea. So it's going to be a big battle, I think, between now and Election Day.
Some other places around the country have had similar sort of taxes specifically for early childhood development. San Antonio is one of them, and they have done a lot of good things with their program with preschools and early childhood development is so, from birth to five, is so amazingly crucial because your brain develops so much more quickly and just exponentially in that fundamental first 5 years of life, that if you can make an investment educationally there, it pays off for the rest of that person's life. And it's something that is, people tend to think, oh, babies are babies and they're not doing much, but there really is an opportunity to kind of pay it forward in those years. So we have a guest piece coming up from that organization, Strong Start Tucson, coming up next week. So look at the star for that.
And listen to our program on September 28th. That will be a week from next Thursday. We will have a debate. Penelope Jacks, the representative from the organization Strong Start Tucson, will be here. And Luke Knipe, who has been real outspoken about not wanting this to pass, is going to be debating Penelope Jacks. Jim, any idea on the Gabrielle Giffords endorsement? Any ideas from you about is that going to make any kind of difference? Her endorsement of former Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick in the CD2 Democratic race.
Well, I'm sure it does help in sort of giving some third party validation to Ann's campaign down here. Ann and Gabby served together, so you know they know each other well. And I think if you're running in that district, you'd certainly want to get Gabby Giffords and Mark Kelly's endorsement. That is a help. Now, how much they'll be campaigning on her behalf remains to be seen, and the election's still a long way off. But I think we've pretty much solidified the field to about five solid candidates at this point. They were all actually at a forum in Sierra Vista this week. So it's very early, and I think a lot could change. But I think Ann has some advantages in her connections back in Washington to the DCCC, and a sense that she's somebody who could raise the type of money who could defeat Martha McSally. But you also have Congressman Grijalva weighing in on behalf of Mary Mattiella, and I'm sure we're going to see other people roll out on behalf of the other candidates, Bruce Wheeler and Billy Kovacs and Matt Hines. So much remains to be seen in this race, a lot of jockeying, but it's huge interest in it this early if they're having forums already.
Well, did all of the candidates, do you know, show up at the Sierra Vista event?
Yeah, all five of them are down there. So they're off and running already. I'll tell you what, they are definitely trying to make inroads into the Democratic voting blocks of Congressional District 2. And, you know, this is going to be a tough race for whoever comes out of that primary, because Martha McSally has worked very hard to be everywhere she can be in this community and has a profile that fits the community well.
Yeah, I think I do. I have to say, I wish the Democrats will come up with someone who we don't know. I don't want to say, and I don't mean don't know in a negative sense. I mean in a way that hasn't, that fresh blood, fresh faces, new eyes, new ways of looking at things, because you don't want to get into that sort of, oh, it's just a replay of 2 years ago or a couple years before that. And I think the Democrats won't do themselves a lot of favors if they try to put up people that have already been defeated elsewhere, or have that sort of like, oh yeah, we know that person and I'm not excited. You need someone who's new and exciting and can put up a head-to-head competition with Martha McSally, who is a very compelling candidate.
Jim, and
I would just add to that real quick. One of the things that Gabby helps Ann with is the fact that Gabby's crew had a pretty good understanding of CD2, and she's now working, Ann is now working with Rod McLeod, who ran several of Gabby's campaigns down here. But on the other hand, a lot of the people who were involved with Gabby's campaign have scattered to other places in the country and are working on other campaigns and other congressional offices. So there's a little bit of institutional loss going on there, too.
Well, we have early voting. We'll begin for the city election, certainly, in a couple of weeks, by October. That's why I think the focus will probably be on the half-cent sales tax for the early childhood initiative here in Tucson. And I just wonder, will voters' appetite go along with a second half-cent sales tax within 1 year? What do you think, Sarah?
I don't know. I really don't. And I think
it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, and it's so easy to say, well, the state should be paying for this,
right.
But you have to realize they're not paying for it. They're not going to. So what mm-hmm. do you do?
Jim?
I think it is most definitely, as with any tax increase, going to be a tough sell. I'm not privy to any polling numbers that they have. It's the sort of question, though, that appeals to a lot of parents. And I think it's the sort of thing that you have a very Democratic-leaning town, and that certainly works in your favor when you're trying to get something like this passed.
And we have a couple of contested races in the wards, right?
Yeah, Ward 6, you got Steve Kosachik running up against a political newcomer, Mariano Rodriguez. We don't know too much about him yet. He's an architect. He's never run for office before. He's a naturalized citizen, and he's apparently a pretty strong Trump supporter, which I don't think does you much good in the city of Tucson this year. And then the open seat in Ward 3, the Republicans didn't field a candidate. There's an independent running named Gary Watson, who's a firefighter, who's running against Paul Durham, who came out of that Democratic primary pretty strong. I think he got almost half the vote in a three-way primary, which is a pretty solid showing. So that's going to be an interesting one to watch how that one plays out, but I would give the advantage to Durham only because it is there's a lot of Democrats who are fired up right now about winning some elections.
And we expect to have Watson and Durham together, invited both of them for a radio debate. Anyway, out of time, Jim Nintzel, thank you very much for your work. And Sarah, anything coming up in the paper Sunday that you want to do a quick promo for?
Well, thank you. Yes, we have a piece from Governor Doug Ducey talking about happy babies. And
speaking of early childhood
right.
education.
Exactly.
Yes.
And the mayor is going to be writing about Citizenship Day. That's Mayor Rothschild from Tucson.
And Mayor Rothschild will be our guest 1 week from today, right here in studio. So the promotions are done, and hope folks will take a look at the Star and also continue to listen to our program. Jim, thanks again.
Always a pleasure, Bill.
Thank you. And Sarah, have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
All right, we'll be right back with Weekend Watch. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Hi, this is Jeff with Enhanced Openings, Windows, Doors, and More. Did you know windows, doors, and skylights are about 30% of all the wall and ceiling areas of your home, but waste up to 80% of all your home's utility bills? Enhanced Openings is Tucson's Pella Select wholesale installation company. We'll save you money on Pella products and on installation.
Text the word Pella to 313131 and get free installation. Or call 686-5617, ROC-CR6030559, enhancedopenings.com.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. All right, Weekend Watch, presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson, to historic Silver City, known for its vibrant arts community and really some fine dining, which brings us around to Weekend Watch and Mr. Matt Russell. Silver City urges you to check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org. That's where you'll find all the great places to stay and the many things to do. Inside Tucson business, food and beverage columnist, award-winning Tucson publicist Matt Russell proudly hosts Weekend Watch here on the Buckmaster Show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. A delicious weekend is ahead, Bill.
Hey, El Charo, my gosh, if you go back to an old Tucson phone book from the 1930s, you'll see they're probably the only one that's still around, because you can go back even further, 95-year anniversary.
Can you believe it? They are celebrating their 95th anniversary all day today. All night tonight, each of their three locations will be offering certain menu items at their original 1922 prices. Now, I'm talking chimichangas, tacos, tamales, even some beers and margaritas for only 95 cents each. Now, as I understand it, the specials will sort of rotate every hour throughout the day, which means I might as well just camp out in my neighborhood, El Charo, where my small change will feed a big appetite. Happy 95th to this iconic eatery.
Matter of just a few pennies, you're going to really eat well, that's for sure. Hey, October, right around the corner.
Yeah, you know what? And in your world travels, Bill, you probably know that in Germany, Oktoberfest celebrations actually start in mid-September.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
The way they do it, which is why the celebration officially kicks off tomorrow at Bar Passé on 4th Avenue. Now, this is a place that's renowned for old world beers and a sophisticated spectrum of sausages. And starting tomorrow, you can get a local pork bratwurst with all the garnish, a side of German potato salad, and a draft Spaten Oktoberfest beer, all for only $10. I love the pairing of sausages and suds. and these guys do it right.
Yeah, it's all to do with the harvest beginning basically in the autumn season, mid-September. It's a great time of year. Tell me about another opening.
Can you believe it? Every weekend watch.
Weekend
a new opening.
Watch.
Well, what started out as a food truck just a couple of years ago, Safe Kitchen will be opening its second brick-and-mortar location this weekend in Josler Village at River and Campbell. Now, this joins their other location in the Mercado San Agustin, which is just west of downtown, and features regional street food from Mexico's six distinct culinary regions. We're talking handmade tortillas, hot-off-the-grill quesadillas, fire-roasted salsas, so much more. I say you got to try Safe Kitchen this weekend.
What's in the Inside Tucson Business column?
Well, Bill, there's a trend among distilleries across the country these days in producing spirits at higher than average alcohol levels. Kind of fascinating. So I sat down with two local distillers to get their take on what I call proof positive. Pour yourself a stiff one and check out this week's edition of Inside Tucson.
Great weekend to you, sir. Thank you very much.
Take care.
This weekend, this Sunday on Liberty Watch, September 17th is Constitution Day, the 230th anniversary of the adoption of the Constitution. We view four samples of how the Constitution addresses modern challenges to lawful governance. At 1 p.m., Dr. John McElroy on Ben Franklin and the Quaker Murders, his new book. That's all coming up Sunday with Charles Heller hosting. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. I want to thank all the people associated with our program. Christophon, who has our original music for the program, and Rosemary Brandt, who's been with me as my assistant since the beginning of the program way back in 2011. Tom Fairbanks, Tom, you do a great job for me here on Friday, engineering and producing. And, of course, Ray Allen in that particular chair Monday through Thursday on the other side of the glass. All of the people, certainly the front office staff here at KVOI, don't get enough kudos, so I want to shout out to them as well. Basically, everybody at KVOI, on behalf of them and Tom, hope you have a great weekend.